Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in.
Hour two begins. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776 is the number. Tongue Dark Chris and his takedown of the Aggies and his applauding of Tennessee has led to a couple of calls. Let's start with Jarrett first. Andy, we'll get to you after Jarrett. What's up, Jarrett?
All right, Chris. I'm not even an Aggie. I'm going to send you some Bearcat. So I lived about 50 miles, 50 minutes from College Station. I spent a lot of time there. And I had buddies that went to UT, and I partied there. The last time I was in Austin, I had to avoid homeless people dookie. Like, literally. Like, that's what your town is. And you want to sit here and come with Aggies? Like, they were celebrating more in Austin last night than they were in Tennessee. I mean, you guys are so obsessed with being the little brother, and now that you're coming to the SEC, you're really going to see how you're the little brother, that you've got to come up and you got to talk your crap and be happy that the Aggies lost. So go back to your dookie-infested freaking city and shut your mouth and know your role.
That probably is the most aggressive call we've ever had on the show.
Probably.
I mean, we've had some inappropriate calls, but there is an anger. It wasn't even simmering. It was boiling anger from Jarrett, and I welcome it. It's not Thursday, which would generally be a place. We don't brand it as such, but Thursday's generally a day, I would say, if you want to slander people, call in.
Start firing.
Yeah, but if you want to call in at any point, the Aggie Longhorn thing, I welcome. College football season is not just right around the corner, but we're getting closer. So I think we're going to set up a time where people need to alert us to their affiliations, because this show loves a college football game and a college football rivalry.
Drop your credentials.
Tell us who you are and tell us who you root for, so we know to either slander you or compliment you week to week, depending on how your team does.
Week to week. Yeah. That was the Sam Houston Bearcat.
Yeah, and he still can't stand the Longhorns.
Yeah.
But he says he parties in both places, so it's him trying to set himself as unbiased. And he said, hey, get the poop off the floor. He used a different term, but I like the word poop. Get your poop off the ground in Austin. Sean?
Yeah?
We'll talk to you after Andy about the poop in your city. Andy wants to talk about fish sticks. What's up, Andy?
Hey, look here, Garrett, man. Go back to College Station. They lost. Just eat it, bro. Anyways, Dale, since you like fish sticks so much, does that make you a gay fish?
I said I didn't like fish sticks. That was the point. You want to cram in your joke if you so choose. I'm fine with it. But I told you, but there needs to be the correct premise. I don't like fish sticks. I haven't had them since I was a kid.
Yeah. There was a fish sticks joke to make, but.
But it wasn't that.
It wasn't that.
No. You can't accuse me of liking something I directly told you I don't like. I haven't had fish sticks since I was very young. I don't like frozen breaded fish. It's not my thing.
But fish sticks are all right.
But I will say, if you do like them, you can get a better quality than Long John's. Long John Silver's. Yes. All I'll say. John,
do you
want to respond to the allegations of the city you called home for years being a poop-infested place?
I wouldn't say infested.
You said it's all over the streets. Last time I was there.
Maybe where Jarrett's hanging out.
Maybe you're hanging out in the wrong places, Jarrett.
Slumlord Jarrett over here.
He's got an apartment complex?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
You don't have any. There's no evidence of what Jarrett is saying.
Well, no, there's poop on the ground.
Well, there's poop on the ground everywhere.
No, not in College Station. Well, there's no homeless people in College Station.
I don't know what they do to the homeless people there. I was generally just from animals walking around. Right? Don't animals have free run of that place? Aren't they an agriculture school? Don't animals have protections that other that animals in other places wouldn't? I'm just saying. I'm sure.
I don't know the laws.
You don't know the laws of the land in College Station, Bryan College Station, how they treat their animals. Speaking of that, there was an Austin, Texas College Station thing beyond, you know, the regular slander that happens between the two fan bases. We'll get to that when we come back. But first, let's get to Lou before we go to break. But, you know, there's a thought that the Texas A&M coach had some interest in taking the Texas job, and he didn't like the question. So we'll play that when we come back. But first, Lou wants to compare A&M and Austin. What's up, Lou?
Actually, I was going to just comment on that Garrett guy because my radio cut out. Did he say he likes to go to a College Station and get barebacked?
No, he didn't, Ryan. You know he didn't say that.
Oh, okay. And other than that, was he okay? Because he sounded like he was about to cry. Was he on his knees praying and crying? I just need to check on him.
Well, he was agitated, but I don't know if he was on his knees.
Again, defending a school that he did not go to.
Which is interesting. I mean, that is something we could parse, if I so cared, to do that. The vehement defense of a school you didn't even go to. And then, you know, he set it up where, hey, I've been to both places. Did sound you had a particular lean. That's okay. We will come back with more Aggie on Longhorn violence because, well, this is maybe more Aggie on Aggie violence because there was a reporter after the game at the College World Series, which the Aggies lost in game 3 to the Vols. We heard Tongue Dark Chris congratulate the Vols on that. Well, Schlossnagel, the coach or manager, how does college baseball treat that? I think it's just coach, right?
College baseball, or I guess MLB baseball is the weird one.
They call them managers.
Managers, but they call them coaches.
Coaches. The coach of the Texas A&M baseball team was asked about his status because there is some thought because of a connection. Chris Del Conte was his boss at one point at TCU. Didn't hire him, but it was his boss. There's a thought that he might be interested in the newly opened Texas job. We'll hear from the coach of Texas A&M and what he thought of the question and what he thinks of even the report when we come back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Coach, with respect to the difficult outcome tonight, but with the rumors circulating today about a specific job opening, what do you have to say about your future in Aggieland?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty selfish of you to ask me that question, to be honest with you. But I left my family to be the coach at Texas A&M. I took the job at Texas A&M to never take another job again. And that hasn't changed in my mind. That's unfair to talk about something like that. That'd be like you asking Montgomery if he's going to sign in the draft. But I understand you got to ask the question, but I gave up a big part of my life to come take this job, and I've poured every ounce of my soul in this job, and I've given this job every single ounce I can possibly give it. Write that.
That was Jim Schlossnagel last night after the Aggies' defeat at the hands of the Vols. You heard him. He thinks it's unfair. I disagree.
So he's staying?
He didn't. See, that's when we start to dive into coaches and, you know, all the bluster. What does it actually mean? He didn't ever say, I'm not taking the job. He said he did say.
It was all past tense.
Yes, he did say he took the Texas A&M job, and he intended it to be his final job. And, you know, he threw in the spice of he left his family for this job. He's been at A&M for now 3 seasons, started in 2022, as Sean rightfully points out, because we are cynics, if not anything else. He never said he's not taking the Texas job. He just let it be known he didn't like the question being asked. You can decide what it means and what it doesn't mean.
Also, why did he leave his family for the A&M job?
I'm assuming
that's just something I don't know.
That's the other thing. I brought it up during the John Lance show, and they're like, oh, no, you don't understand. You don't have kids. Okay, sure. I mean, your kids can still be in school. You know, he was at TCU beforehand, but that was 3 years ago. So did he leave, I don't know his family situation. Are they still in Fort Worth for high school? I don't know. But maybe he did leave and now they're with him. I don't know. I don't want to speculate about what happened and what didn't happen, but I did find that interesting that it's 3 years later.
It's also Fort Worth to College Station. Yeah, it's not like he moved Aggies across the country.
Provide the PJ if he needs to get from one place to the next. I don't know Jim Schlossnagel's situation. He was just very adamant that he didn't like the timing of the question. I don't take issue with it. And the reporter did get clearance. Apparently it came from Tex Aggs, the reporter in question. And then he said, I guess Billy Lucci, who runs that organization, said, hey, go ask the question. It's cool. If the rumors had no basis, I could understand being upset by the question, whether you're a fan of the Aggies and you don't want to hear it after you have this disappointing loss, or you're the coach himself. But if there's some backing behind it, it's not just wild speculation, it's a relevant question to ask. Are you going to be available to answer this question after this? Imagine you're going to go away for a little bit, and maybe you're not going to take my phone call or talk about it off the record. So I know the loss and the situation makes it tough. I don't think it's selfish. He's a reporter. When else is he going to ask that question? Particularly if the rumor has any facts behind it.
Also, shout out to the Tex Aggs for asking that question. I just assumed that was from like national media.
No, I believe that's a Billy Lucci joint, and people were upset with them because they're the, you know, one of the organizations that covers that team and the program or the university as a whole is when it comes to sports, and people took issue with it. But hey, I don't know. Coaches get asked tough questions all the time. He just responded in a way that maybe would make you side with him.
It was also very funny on social media last night where people just took it two different ways. I took it as he kind of shut it down, as like not 100% shut it down.
That was my initial
thought.
But
he shut it down.
Yeah.
And there are other people, weirdly enough, most of them Texas fans.
Of course.
That were like, didn't actually say he wasn't taking the job.
I know.
He just got mad at the question.
I know. You couldn't call him a liar if we hear in a week he's the Texas baseball
the door
coach.
Up. I don't think he's
going to.
No. Like, that'd be crazy.
But.
It'd be crazy if he did that.
Yeah, nothing like this has ever happened in college sports before.
It'd be crazy if Texas A&M let him do it. Just keep throwing money at him for him not to go to Texas.
That's true. The smack across the face, if Texas, who's joining the SEC, takes your baseball coach after you're one game away from winning a title, that's big boy. That's big baller. We got more money than you. No matter what you think, we're still more appealing than you. No matter what you think of your program stuff from Texas, if they did that.
The only two names that I saw linked to the Texas coaching job yesterday was this guy, the A&M coach, Jim
Schlossnagel.
Sure.
What's his name?
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I look it up. It's his name.
And then the Tennessee coach.
Oh, okay.
Which is the most.
You guys are shooting. Talk about shooting. Most Texas thing ever and shooting for the stars.
Thing ever.
It's almost as audacious as going after Nick Saban when you guys did.
Almost got him.
Almost got him, except, you know, it leaked, so he couldn't go, I guess. I guess that stops Nick Saban.
Terry didn't let him.
But, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're in flux. Look, in fact, we'll take the loser because maybe the champion can't leave a school, but we'll take the guy who finishes in second because don't finish in second at A&M when you can be first at Texas.
It's like because Kentucky did this with Dan Hurley, but it's like if they're like it's either Dan Hurley or Matt Painter, the Purdue coach.
These are the
it's
only like, guys we want.
Only two. This is the and we're rivals with one of them.
Yeah.
And in the same conference as both of them.
Yeah.
It's a wild move to be like, either of them will do.
Doesn't matter. Whoever accepts the check first, you're our guy.
They seem good. What makes you think that? They're in the World Series.
Yeah. And stealing A&M's coach on the back of him losing the title series would be a masterstroke and would set this rivalry, as big as it is, to a new point. If they could get that done. I don't expect it to happen, but I would welcome it.
If it happened, I might watch when they play baseball in the regular season.
you got to at least watch the trip if they go to A&M in the first in their first season.
It'd be very Chris Beard going back to Lubbock. It'd be very Chris.
But Schlossnagel needs security to get into the.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Yeah, particularly after how strong he was in his condemnation of that reporter. Let's go to Lazy J. He wants to talk about something we haven't talked about today, but it's still big. It's the summer of soccer. What's up, Lazy J?
Good afternoon. I want to talk a little bit of soccer. I want to get your guys' thoughts about Colombia, man. Are they the sleeper in this in the Copa America? I thought it was going to be Brazil, but even Ronaldinho came out and was dogging Brazil the way they're playing. And Neymar, I don't know what the hell he was doing sitting in the stands yesterday. He should have been playing on the team, but instead of, you know, watching from sidelines. I just want to get you guys' thoughts about that. Do you think it's going to be Colombia? They're looking fast. Maybe Colombia and maybe Uruguay in the final. And then also one quick question. I know I'm a Ronaldo fan, but what's your guys? Does that cement his legacy as maybe being the GOAT instead of being debatable with Messi? If he wins the Euro, I mean, yeah, he doesn't have a World Cup like Messi, but we all know what happened. How he got that one. So, you know, I just want to get your guys' thoughts on that. Love the show.
Thanks, Lacey J. Let's start with Colombia. They're not a sleeper. We've seen them play. They're big time. I can't believe James is still a guy that can impact the game that way. He did it with assist of two really good balls and that led to headers. He was big. Colombia, we saw their backing here in town. They were clearly the home crowd out at NRG or the home team out at NRG. They're not a sleeper. As far as who they'll play, I don't know, man. It's the knock. We're one game into the tournament. I have no idea. But if we're talking about favorites, I think Brazil got CONCACAF. I don't take CONCACAF that seriously as far as creating a world power, but they play a brand that will frustrate people, that will annoy. We always think the U.S. should be dominating CONCACAF, and they do for the most part now. I mean, Mexico has taken a step back as far as winning all the not so important tournaments. But on a game-to-game basis, we've seen it through qualifying how difficult CONCACAF can be, whether it be the fields they're playing on or the atmosphere. Now, that the fields could be a problem here in this country. Argentina's worried about playing at MetLife. Now, they're playing on grass, but they laid the grass over the turf, allegedly, and that is a concern. I say allegedly because there's stuff in between the grass and the turf, but we saw the Argentines complain about their first game, and now there might be some complaints about how that MetLife grass over turf will hold up. But CONCACAF teams make it ugly and tough on you, and that's what Brazil got a taste of. Costa Rica held them to a draw, but I do think Colombia and Uruguay, you could point at two as a favorite, and of course Argentina. Your other thing about Messi and Ronaldo could win a second Euro, and Messi will go, well, I've got a World Cup and a Copa. What do you want from me? What do you want? And it's never going to be something where Ronaldo wins this battle from, I guess I would say, an unbiased source. We know Ronaldo Messi is very much, although they're contemporaries, very much LeBron Michael. And maybe you throw some others in there too. People have their sides. Michael Jordan should maybe say his full name. People have their sides, and nothing you're going to do is going to change people's mind. Lazy J, you know you're a Ronaldo fan. What could anyone say to you to make you think Messi is better than Ronaldo? That's why I don't like the conversations, because in a conversation or a discussion, I would hope to be able to have an argument or a point that may at some point make people, you know what, maybe. And I would hope it happens to me in the opposite way, that maybe I can reconsider. But never in the GOAT debates. No one ever comes off their perch. I don't remember one time where there was a discussion and someone was like, you know what? You've got a good point. You've changed my mind. It never happens. So comfort yourself in thinking Ronaldo's better. For the people who think Messi's better, Lazy J, nothing Ronaldo's going to do is going to change his mind, or going to change their mind. Nothing. It's over. For you and for them.
They're also both in their late 30s.
Yes.
I think it's over.
It's over.
It's not like there's still time.
I mean, they probably will both play in the World Cup, despite some speculation that Messi won't. I think Ronaldo's going to give it a go. Wouldn't surprise me if Messi, as long as he stays injury free with Inter Miami, gives it a go too. But the debate at this point is all about now accomplishments on the field, and that has so much to do with who's around you. And sure, Messi was big in the World Cup, certainly very big. I do think it's funny that Ronaldo's biggest international accomplishment, he wasn't on the field because he got hurt early in the match when they won the Euros.
Who got him there?
Well, he was great. I'm gonna knock it.
Come on.
But were you on the pitch when the game was decided?
He gave it his all.
He was a coach on the sideline.
Yeah. Well, he gave up all his body for his country.
Hey, Ronaldo, what did it take?
Everything.
It took everything, including you not being around when they needed you most. Yeah. If I was going to slam him, I'm not a Ronaldo or a Messi guy. I don't care one way or the other. If I was going to slam him, I would go, hey.
That's Bruno Fernandez's title.
Well, was he around back then? This is like 2016, I think, when they won the Euros. I don't think Bruno, it was some, Eder was the one who scored of all people. It was a great goal, and they beat France to win it, I think, in France. I think it was all in France's home country. So, ladies, don't worry about it. Just root for your guy. No one's going to change your mind. You're not going to change anyone else's mind. Thomas, we see you. We're late. I want to get you on the other side. It breaks our rule of getting to people quickly. Sorry about that, Thomas. You want to talk about the Aggies coach, Jim Schlossnagel, and whether do you think he's going to be the next Texas coach, or maybe you just are interested in what he said about why he wouldn't be leaving, even though he never said he wouldn't be leaving. We'll talk about that and you, Thomas, when we come back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are.
No, not really. Okay.
Not at all, actually. Thomas wants to talk about the Aggies coach. What's up, Thomas?
What's up, Del? Enjoying the show. I've enjoyed the caller so far. I love that a Texas State alum decided to hop into Aggie Texas beef. I love the soccer chatter. But, yeah, I'm a big fan of college baseball. I went to LSU. They won a national championship while I was in school and really fell in love with sport. And so year in, year out, kind of like soccer and hockey, you kind of ask, like, what can college baseball do to grow? And then, you know, it gets big during the regionals and in Omaha. And then it just dies out. And then, you know, in May, it picks up again. So I kind of appreciate the scumbag Aggie manager coach here. He's just pulling a card from college football, right? I don't know if I'm going. I don't know. I'm happy here. You know, I'm committed to here. So I'm ready for him to bolt, you know, in a couple days. It's going to make it very exciting, another talking point, carry another week of college baseball. So I'm really excited about it. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Thomas. Thomas is looking for another narrative. And I get it. College baseball, like he pointed out.
It would help. You can't deny that it would help.
Because that soundbite, particularly if he goes to Texas, would it make big ESPN? No. But SEC Network at some point would probably reference it. I don't know how long it would carry the conversation, but he's right. He mentioned college football and all the swapping interconference of coaches. I mean, the SEC kind of doesn't like it because, you know, they want to project that they're all one. This goes back years when they were snitching on each other. They had to get together and go, hey, we're all one. It doesn't help us if one major program is using their allegations that they found against another to take that one down. It doesn't help us. It's Omerta. Is it Omerta? That's what they call it. That's what they're looking for with the SEC. This would be something to spark college baseball talk. Not that SEC needs it. It's one of the two main conferences that care very much about it. But I would agree, Thomas. I'm not sure Jim Schlossnagel's a scumbag, though. I don't think there's proof of that. But the rest of what you're saying, you're not wrong.
We don't know if he's a scumbag.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a scumbag. Okay. I would think we might. Nah, we wouldn't know because it's college baseball. I wouldn't know the rumors about Jim Schlossnagel. But we haven't heard that he's a scumbag. I'll put it that way.
It's a tough situation for me because I want to call him a scumbag. But if he does leave,
then he's your scumbag.
Then he's my scumbag.
Yeah. Why do you want to call him a scumbag? He hasn't done anything. Because it's the word we normally don't call people. You think you want to get that off? Yeah, I don't want to call him that.
I just think it's funny to be like that scumbag Texas A&M baseball coach.
It made me laugh. It was a good phrase, and out of nowhere, honestly, because Thomas was very measured until he got to that point.
maybe there is something there, but just, you know, there's some skeletons in his closet.
A deeper, darker conspiracy we don't know anything about.
There's a chance.
I don't want this show to be the show that's like. To start something. Oh, you don't know anything. Well, that's John's thing. I don't know what Jim's up to.
I don't.
But John wouldn't even do it because he has an affinity for coaches for whatever reason. He loves himself some coaches.
Well, yeah.
It's maybe the free tickets thing, maybe. Maybe that's what that's about. He loves access, whether it be on the field or at practice. He's an access man.
Yeah.
But
we're too far away from coaches. So
yeah.
We can, so maybe he's a scumbag. I don't know.
You can do that. I'm not doing that. I don't even want to say maybe. I haven't heard that outside of Thomas. And I don't know where Thomas is basing that on, what he's basing that on.
I think if he doesn't leave, he's a scumbag. Does leave, he's not a scumbag.
He made the right decision for you.
Yeah,
why would you want to be at A&M?
It's his career. He can do what he wants with it.
Exactly. That's the reasoning you use when people are attacking him.
He wants to work with Chris Del Conte, so, you know.
And who wouldn't, right?
Ed, they work together at TCU. Very successful.
That is the connection. That is the connection. Thomas mentioned the soccer talk. Well, there's a game on right now where Austria is leading the Netherlands. We're almost 40 minutes into that one, and the Austrians are leading the Dutch in a deciding day in that group. We're having, you know, once it's major tournament time, final group game for all the teams, the four play at the same time. Two in one city, two in the other. We'll have another window, I think, at 2 p.m. here locally. So the summer soccer continues, and we'll have Copa tonight. We were going to get to some things, but, you know, the college took over. The rivalry began in earnest, and it all kicked off at Tongue Dark Chris, and then we had the Sam Houston State caller call in. we have people who believe he's a secret Aggie, people who believe he's using the cover of being at a different school to protect him from the slander he would get for just simply being out and out supporter of the Aggies. If that was the case, you could just say you're an Aggie. We don't mind. It's not serious.
Yeah.
Tell us you're an Aggie and you hate the Longhorns or just the city of Austin for whatever reason because of poop on the ground, as if that isn't a cause for concern for a lot of major cities. But apparently Austin's filled with it.
Phil, just overflowing.
To the brim. And that will lead us to a story. Well, we got people who agree with the LSU caller that the coach is a scumbag.
Oh, okay. That's all I need. That's all I need.
Until he takes over for your school.
Yeah, then, hey, watch it.
Hey, that's our guy. He's our scumbag.
Yeah, even then I probably will just be like, well.
A lot of it.
That is some scumbaggery.
Some people are pointing. Look, he said in the quote that he left his family, and that's what people are leaning on. I don't know what left his family means, though.
It'd be great. It'd be great if it was voluntary.
I don't know that he left his family and got a new wife. Maybe he just spent time away from them to coach this job.
I finally had an excuse to leave my wife's when I took this job. So.
See, I'm not going to use that to attack him. It might have just meant, hey, for a couple months I had to leave them to take this job while they spent time at Fort Worth. And, you know, when it was time, they followed me. Maybe that's what it means. But he did make it a point of contention about why he was never going to leave the A&M job.
It was funny because he used it as moral high ground. But then
but the people who listen to this show, because they're – it was out and out a-holes, to be honest. They follow our lead, I guess. He left his family. That makes him a scumbag.
This man left his family.
He used it. I don't think he meant that he never saw them again.
Do you think he has a secret family in everywhere he coaches?
No, I don't think there's one.
So he leaves his family in Fort Worth and then, you know, starts a new one in College Station.
Well, if we're going by what you think. He was the head coach at UNLV before then.
Oh, so no one would ever do that in Las Vegas.
So going by your
theory, scumbag has ever worked in Las Vegas.
See, now we're at a point where you are drawing connections. And in some ways, I want to fight you. And in some ways, I'll let Sean cook.
Las Vegas, famously on the up and up.
He's from Hagerstown, Maryland.
Classic Hagerstown, Maryland. We all know.
No one knows anything about that place.
Hagerstown's.
No one knows anything about Hagerstown, Maryland, except for the people from Hagerstown, Maryland. We got one more segment to go. If you want to call someone a scumbag, I mean, I'm not welcoming it, but hey, freedom of speech. We take phone calls all the time here. We welcome your call, 713-780-3776. We'll get to something that doesn't feature college baseball. We've had a show dominated by college baseball. Surprisingly, all it took was the A&M having a giant disappointment for that to become a thing on this show. We'll talk about the Houston Texans and a prediction about them that isn't a hot take, but it's been positioned as one, and really, it's very reasonable. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
This comes from Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated. I don't know if he does a yearly thing. I think he might, at least for the last couple years. He does NFL predictions. He does 100 of them. And his one involving the Texans is he doesn't think they're going to improve over their 10 wins last year. And he uses some reason for that. Of course, he does all the caveats because he doesn't want to get yelled at. I love the Texans. I love CJ. It's nothing about them. I swear. It's not about them. I like them. Please don't yell at me. Leave me alone. Please, please, please. But he does mention the toughness of the schedule. And he thinks CJ will be better. But the schedule has landmines late. We know about that stretch of games where it's three playoff teams in a matter of a couple days because they're playing Christmas, which is a Wednesday. So the schedule gets condensed, and these are all teams who made the playoffs last year. So it's mostly about things the Texans can't control, who they're facing. Now, of course, if a quarterback goes down here and there, depending on the team, the schedule gets a lot easier. But as it stands now, 10-7 he sees as kind of the bar for the Texans. And I would say I don't really disagree. I think they'll be better. They've added better players. But the fact that they were in so many one-score games, and some of them, obviously they came out ahead, some of them they didn't. They're just going to be tested in a different manner. Last year was about proving you can go out and win ball games. This year, it'll be, can you beat good teams consistently? I think they're capable. But are they capable of running through the schedule and getting to 11 or 12 wins? I think the AFC South helps. The Titans and the Jags, they should beat upon. I don't care about Trevor Lawrence's new deal or what people think he should be because of where he was drafted and what he did at Clemson. That's an average quarterback until proven otherwise.
Generational prospect.
A generationally average quarterback until proven otherwise. Who's getting paid a lot of money despite how average he's been.
No, he's one of the five generational prospects in the last 5 years.
Sean is pointing out that would mean can't be very generational if five of them have come out.
We just had one.
Yeah, five of them have just come out.
We had Caleb Williams. Yeah. We had CJ Stroud, who we didn't know was generational.
But now he is. So yeah. how could there be five generational quarterbacks in a span of 4 years? How could it defeats the purpose
of
the word.
Malik Willis, who was generational.
No one's ever said that. No one. Some things I'll let you get off. That one, no one's ever said.
I was trying to think who was in that draft. Oh, Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett.
Generationally small hands.
There were. Generationally small hands led to generational memes about his small hands.
Yeah, I think that combined with going from playing a fourth place schedule with the NFC South as the NFC NFC conference that you're matched up with, and then going from now this year, you're playing a first place schedule in the AFC, and your NFC opponent is the North, which is solid.
Sure.
It's a pretty good one. I think that makes it pretty tough. Or is it the East? I actually forgot which one they play.
They play the Bears, right?
Yeah, they play the Bears. They play the Packers, too.
It's so, the NFC. It's the North, yeah.
So, yeah, I think going from playing the South to the North, especially this year playing the North, where really Minnesota's probably the only team that you look at as, like, easy. And then you have Chicago, who's decent. And then you have the Bears and the, the Lions and the Packers, who both were playoff teams last year, will probably be playoff teams again.
Yeah, you play the NFC South, and three of those were one-score games, right?
You needed, yeah, and you lost to the Panthers.
And you needed and the Falcons. Those were comeback drives by those teams, and then you need a remarkable drive of your own to beat the Bucks. So it was back and forth even with that division.
Hey, they handled the Saints, though.
Credit to them for taking care of Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Made
take
his,
that.
Yeah.
That's for David.
You remember how bad David felt when he played here? We're going to make you feel just as bad. Just as bad.
Do you think that was like a bottom 10 memory for Derek Carr inside of NRG Stadium? Or do you think they're just...
I'm sure there are moments
watching his brother play.
I'm sure there were moments where his brother came off the field after a tough game, and you know, was to talk with the family, and it, those moments couldn't have felt great. It just the David Carr era, for what it was, wasn't great, and Derek Carr was here for a lot of it. But before we wrap it up, well, I'm not blaming him
for
it.
As like an eighth grader.
I'm not saying he was an issue. I'm just saying he was around because, you know, the family wanted to stay close to their son as he was trying to navigate an NFL career that, you know, wound up with him being a champion. Certainly not here. Back up with the Giants, though. Before we wrap it up, Sean, I have a question for you. And I'm going to clean up the wording here mostly because at some point this show's got to be a little professional. We've been dropping a scumbag on someone. Well, at least a caller did. Yeah. So we're going to
clean. We've been discussing.
Yeah, when we said it a number of times. I just want to let it be known, this show does not believe that gentleman is a scumbag. We just had a caller who said he was,
yes.
And we discussed the
whether or not
the veracity
may or may not be
of that particular claim.
But we're split.
Well,
we don't know.
You're split. I don't think he's a scumbag. It's just one guy calling him that. And people on Twitter, too.
Huh.
So it's more than one guy, I guess. But moving on. GQ has an article, and I'll ask you this question, Sean, as I clean it up. And when I pose this to you, you're going to be a little confused, but it's fine. I'll ask you this. Would you ever enter a flight without protection? And you say, what does that mean? Well, apparently men are taking flights and bringing no distractions. They call it a different word. You can figure it out. What's the word for having sex without protection? That's the word that's used in the article. I'm not going to say it. It's not beneath me. I just refuse to say it this time around. They're not taking they're not bringing a magazine.
Oh.
Snacks.
Okay. I thought they weren't bringing the actual
item. They're not bringing magazines or snacks or headphones, music, nothing.
Oh my God.
All they're doing on the flight is, if the flight provides it, is staring at the flight pattern. Or the flight plan. You know, some flights will let you see
the little plane,
the progress you're making.
Moving on the map, yeah.
And that's only if it's on a monitor in front of them. They're not looking at their phones. Would you be someone there's apparently a subset of men who do this, and they consider it something that is almost meditative, where they just sit on a plane, don't talk, don't do anything, don't eat, and all they do is sit there, stare ahead.
I can do all
and think about things.
I can do all that with headphones on.
Then you're not.
Then
you're not fitting what's going on here.
Nothing that you said. That would be impossible to do if I had headphones on.
Article.
I can think with headphones on.
But you're listening to music.
I can eat or not eat because there's. I think all of those things. It's like I can do that. I can. If you're just you can't. You have to be on a plane. You can't talk or eat. I'm like, that's fine. Okay, sure. As long as it's like
no distractions.
A domestic flight, like, yeah, I can go 4 hours without eating.
Well, these guys at points were going 7 hours. In fact, I believe the longest flight.
7 hours just staring at a map?
One gentleman, a 21-hour slog from London to Australia.
He had to have fallen asleep.
Well, fine. That's fine, I guess.
No, okay. Then
They didn't say this in the article.
Take
I'm assuming.
Yeah, you can do
I'm
that.
Assuming he fell asleep, but he doesn't say he did in the article. He said all he did was sit there and look at the flight plan. for 21 hours. And they call it, you guys can guess what, unprotected sex might a word for that. But that's what they call it. That's what they call it.
RDing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. To clear it up for people. They're RDing. That's what they call it. We go in there, we get in the plane, and we do nothing. No distractions. 21-hour flight for that? No chance.
21 hours.
That is insane.
That's crazy.
I'm not going to eat for 21 hours?
21-hour flight's hard with the distractions.
Yeah.
With the distractions.
You are restless.
You better bring a series to watch. Like, not even a movie, just a series.
And depending on, yeah, if like Law and Order, but if it's like more modern TV, you need three seasons of it.
Yeah.
That's 21 hours.
Yeah, man. Huh.
So no RDing for you.
No, no.
I've never done it either. That's crazy.
That's insane.
I won't do that for a 2.5-hour flight from Florida to Houston.
I was going
to
say, like, that, I could do it.
But I don't want to.
Yeah, 2.5 hours, just staring at a – what if you don't have the flight plan?
I guess you just stare ahead.
Stare at the
– because you don't use your phone.
Stare at the headrest.
I'm a fan of safe flying. No RDing for me on planes.
Yeah.
You can't do it, man. No. It's unsafe for me.
Safe flying is the best flying.
That's right. You can have all the fun you want, but just do it safely on a plane. So that's a thing. If you're out there and you do it, I don't know if I would say you're a better man than me.
No,
I would say you're a weirder man than me. You're doing something very unnecessary.
I don't want to give these people any, like, that you don't get.
Don't pat them on the back.
That. No. There's no merit to this.
I mean, you're a step below incel at this point if you're doing this.
You are. At least they're involuntary. You're voluntarily.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Don't go on a plane and listen to something, a podcast, some music.
Have some peanuts. Like, live
anything.
It up.
Take the free snacks.
Have a cracker, all right?
Drink some water, something. You're going to disturb everyone around you if they look at you just staring at the flight plan for hours.
I don't think I want to go through security and, like, just walking to the gate without headphones on. Like, I need headphones.
Yeah, I need to. Yeah, even the whole process of getting from your gate to your plane and all the, at least getting through security to your gate, I put headphones in. We're done. Been an interesting show. I appreciate all the people chiming in. Leave that A&M baseball coach alone. He hadn't done anything yet. We don't know. Gallant and George up next, followed by the Killer Bees. And what do we do, Sean?
We did it!
That's right. Talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CARGURUS.com. CarGurus.com.
When the world is calling, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, including Montreal, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, travel from Columbus is closer than you think. Start your trip at FlyColumbus.com.